Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers.
It's from very far away. It's a week. Can you hear us on the other side? But people love seances and ghost things at the moment, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I've been getting into uncanny.
Yeah, well, do you know what? That's what we should do. Let's do that for a future episode. We'll do a spooky special.
Spooky quiz.
Yeah.
Completely out of season as well.
Oh, yeah.
Spooky season. Everyone all year round, lads.
Yeah, exactly. Halloween, schmalloween. Yeah. It's like people who only drink at New Year's. You know, we look down on people who aren't spooky all year round. And
you know what? Don't get me started on people who only go to the pub in December.
Yeah, yeah. Just clogging it up for the
bar,
rest of us.
A queue rather than waiting at the bar. A queue forms outwards from the bar, causing a fire hazard.
It really annoys me. Honestly. Do you know what my husband experienced recently, which apparently is a thing now, or maybe it always has been, but people doing a kitty on a night out, instead of buying rounds, people going, oh, hang on, actually, I'm not going to stay for the whole thing, yeah. So let's all put like a tenner in. But then nobody's got cash. It was just, it sounded like nightmare. No. What was wrong? The round system exists for a reason. And if you're not staying, just buy your own drink.
Yeah.
But none of it put a kitty. It's just nonsense, isn't it?
I think it's, people need to have a bit more respect for the spiritual home of quiz.
The pub.
Which is the Great British Pub.
Exactly. Exactly.
Know the rules. If you don't understand the etiquette, stay away from the bar. Get someone else to go for you.
Yes.
Just exactly. Hand your card over. Buy a round. Lovely. Jobs are good. That's I'll do it.
Yes, if you ever need us one. To come down your pub and
show you how to order drinks.
Then we can absolutely do it. Well,
start with the stout.
We are going to be going to somebody's pub because yes. We have offered ourselves as pub quiz hosts or pub quiz companions, I think.
Yes.
Whichever
the winner prefers, we can form a team with you. Or we can host your pub quiz.
Yes.
But this is an exclusive competition for people who are you know, loyal enough and sensible enough to have purchased our debut book, Fingers on Buzzers.
Which is out now in all good bookstores and online, so do purchase that. And as a little incentive, later on we're going to give you a little snippet from the audiobook, an excerpt. So I hope you will enjoy that later. But so we thought we would, for this episode, start off with a sort of literary theme, mm-hmm. or we've got some books, basically.
We've got books. So, we've always got books.
Yes. Shall we talk about the one that you've got? So yes. These are older books. The first one that you've got, Jen, is a present from lovely Alan Dunn.
Oh, we were handed this. It's in immaculate condition as well. It's the Antiques Roadshow quiz book.
Mm.
Imagine such a thing.
I know.
Well, I don't need to imagine it anymore because it's here.
Thanks to Alan.
I would say it's not great for an audio format because it's very picture-based.
I'm sure
it's
it is.
It's very much, what period is this stool?
Well, Alan presented this to us at the Museum of Comedy during one of our live shows, and it is something that maybe we could weave into a live show at some point. In fact, later on in this episode, as well as the excerpt from our book, we're also going to talk a little bit about picture quizzes. So actually, this could be ideal for,
yes.
if you are trying to do a picture quiz, then antiques is quite a good one to, like, I would say antique chairs. I might have a decent go at recognising an Eames or a Robin Day. I'm just trying to think, what other chairs? Chesterfield, I probably know that.
Egg chair
could do that.
Yeah. But I like, especially when I'm watching things like Bargain Hunt or Antiques Roadshow, when they have an unusual object and they're trying to get people to guess what it was used for.
Yes.
I love that bit. I mean, this has even got some of them. So I don't know the difference between a Canterbury and a Cellaret, but I'm going to find out.
Ooh,
these
okay.
are little pieces of furniture. I'd love it all.
Oh, because I would love to be in my own home and say to someone, just pop it on the Canterbury, darling. No, Dad, just pop my drink on the Canterbury. I shall take it later.
Would you put it on a Canterbury or in a Canterbury?
I don't know what a Canterbury is, mate. I've got literally no idea.
Because some of these items are things you would put something in.
Yes.
And some you would put them on. Or both. That one's got a lid that you could use as a little side table.
Well, maybe that's the quiz. In or on.
In or on. Would you use it for eating, drinking, or would you use it for telling the time? This is an absolutely fascinating quiz book, but it's very, I would say it's very visual.
Okay. Well, let's do the power of description.
The power of description.
You describe a thing and then I'll have to say what it is. Or describe something, ask me the question, and then I'll give an answer. Completely uninformed.
Okay. This Victorian 28-inch long cast metal lion was designed as what?
Okay.
It's a 20, it's 28 inches long.
That is 28 inches.
Cast metal.
Of cast metal
lion.
Well, I mean, doorstop, you would think. Fire guard.
Doorstop is an option.
Okay. Doorstop, fire guard, or protective item, like, you know, sort of guarding against curses or household bad luck.
Your options are doorstop, mm-hmm. chenet, fire dog, or statuette.
Now, fire dog, you know, statuette would be a bit boring if it's just a statuette. So a fire dog. Now, a chenet. I'm interested in what a chenet might
be. I'm going to find out what a chenet is live.
A chenet. It would be funny if it turns out to be a dildo or something.
I don't know.
Chenet. I'm going to say, I started off thinking doorstop. I'm going to say fire dog.
I should have stuck with your instinct. It was a doorstop. A chenet or an andiron is a pair of metal supports for firewood used on a hearth.
Okay, so it's fire. Yeah,
they're all fire related, as you might imagine from a Victorian item.
The fire
made of metal.
Yes.
Yeah.
When we did Antiques Road Trip and we went to some, you know, architectural salvage yard in the valleys. I had to have a look at a lot of things that were sort of fire related and that I didn't understand. What I thought just great big ugly old hunks of metal. And apparently lovely Sir Hat, my expert, was like, oh no, this could be worth a fortune. None of it was in the end.
No, but I do think we were scuppered by that that auction house. I don't think they publicised our glorious items enough.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, I'd have bloody put some welly into it. What they should do is you do Antiques Roadtrip and then you have to go and actually auction the things yourself. Because I'd be flashing a nipple. I'd be like, what do you need, guys? What's going to make you take them? Not that me flashing a nipple would be, but you know what I mean? I think you'd have something more to lose. I had to do an auction the other night. I was hosting a dinner thing and they had to auction off a bottle of champagne. Now, listen, we've talked about champagne bottle sizes frequently and it was, I think it was just a Jeroboam. No, it wasn't a Jeroboam. Yeah, Jeroboam. How many is that? Jeroboam.
Jeroboam is three.
Three, yeah, it might have been a Jeroboam, I think. But yeah, and I had to. It turns out actually being an auctioneer is a very particular skill.
Yes.
And I ended up like getting really scared because there were two people and I was like, this is too much to pay. Oh God, this is. And
write
it was for
it back,
charity
guys.
And everything. But I was like, really?
You're
going to regret this in the morning, guys. Oh my God. So yeah, you need to have definitely a different set of skills than I do to be an auctioneer successful.
Well, do you know where the word bureau comes from?
Oh, I don't.
What's the derivation?
Is this multiple choice?
No, this is. I'm deriving this from an introductory paragraph to the section on bureau.
Okay, bureau
an
with
entire
an X.
Chapter on bureau.
Yes,
plural.
Yes,
yeah, I'm sure you could hear the X.
I could hear that, your beautiful French X. Jenny's silent French X. That's the title of her sex tape. Where does the word bureau come from?
It goes all the way back to Latin, burrus, which is russet red. It's a particular shade of red.
Oh,
and that
nice.
Was the dye used in the cloth that was often used to protect writing surfaces.
Well, very good. There you go.
There
Don't
you
say
go.
Never
I
teach
had no
anything,
idea
guys.
About that.
Now, do you want to do me any more antiques-y questions or should we move
no,
on to
I think
my
should,
book?
Let's see what you've got because I want to know what you've got from the dusty shelves.
Well, yes, my offering for Quiz Book Club this week is Michael Caine, Not Many People Know That.
Excellent.
Which in itself, you know, the impression that people used to do was always not a lot of people know that, wasn't
it? Yeah, and
inaccurate. So Michael has written a book to set that to rest.
I remember this book, but I've not seen it in many years.
Yes, yeah, so
there was a sequel as well, wasn't there? Not many people know that either, or something.
It may well have been. I picked it up in the charity shop. It was published in 1984, and it is extraordinarily. It's the royalties from this book are donated to the National Playing Fields Association.
Oh.
Which is good of Sir
good
Michael.
Good old Sir Michael.
There?
Good lad.
Very good. And there's a big, big section about the work of the National Playing Fields Association, and it is worth reading. But the format of this book is it's an amazing almanac, and so every day there is a list of facts. And what I have discovered through looking through this is quite often they're on fairly shaky ground. Or
they're more factoid than fact.
Yes, some of them.
They resemble a fact.
Can I just tell you this one? May the 9th. The Turks consider it very unlucky to step on a piece of bread. I mean.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack in that one short sentence.
There is. There is that. And I have sort of tried to verify some of these facts.
It's just unfortunate to step on bread in whatever culture, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to waste bread.
No.
It means someone's dropped some bread. That's sad.
Yeah, there's bread wastage. It's, you know.
Turkish bread is gorgeous.
You get
though.
Chucked out of Greg's. Turkish bread. Floofy. It's sort of floofy. Oh, it's delicious. But so what I thought I'd do with this book is I am going to pick some dates that mean something to the production team here. And I'm going to share some facts with you.
Thank you.
So, Jenny Ryan, now your birthday, I should know this.
You should know this. It's the 2nd of April.
The 2nd of April. So look, I was hovering around the end
you
of
were.
March and then 2nd of April.
Okay.
Okay, so on the day of your birth, Charlemagne, the first Holy Roman Emperor, was born today in about 742.
Allegedly,
yeah. In about 740. I mean, it's like, I love the fact that they've gone
on the 2nd of April.
May or may not have been
which
742.
Year, we don't know.
Some chroniclers at the time describe him as a giant, for in an age where the average height was well below that of today, he is said to have been over 7 feet tall. Well, he would have been said to be...
Said to be a literal giant, really.
Yes. There's a lot, again, a lot there that we're not sure about.
Yeah. It was a tall lad. He was strapping.
Tall lad, Charlemagne. That's how you get to be the Holy Roman Emperor. It was largely, probably, you did need to be a bit intimidating at that point. Even the smallest volcano has more potential power at its disposal than the largest earthquake or hurricane.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't dispute that, but I don't know.
Wouldn't know where to begin.
What Michael's measure is.
No.
Michael's measure.
I really do like the mental image that Michael Caine has just sat there personally going...
He's not looked anything up. He's like, this is everything I know.
Yes.
Write it down.
That is a book I would absolutely read. Just sort of... I reckon if you said to celebrities, write down all the facts you know, it would be a really fascinating book. Because it would be like, what would come to mind?
Yeah.
And where would you put it? 99% of all the forms of life that have ever existed on the earth are now extinct. Yeah.
And they were all born on the 2nd of April.
Yeah, they were all 7 feet
tall. Year unspecified.
Oh, good Lord. There is a multi-story brothel in Hamburg, Germany, which operates with the tacit approval of the government. I mean, true then and true now. Sex work in Germany
is... Not just in Hamburg, surely.
Yeah.
I'm sure there must be more than one multi-story.
I mean, God.
You've just got several floors. Well done.
It's grim, isn't it?
Makes it feel like a car park.
Yeah.
And it's all like open air and a smelly stairwell.
Oh, I know. Chip coin operated and there's a sort of valeting service on the third floor. We can have anyway. Also, was this Michael Caine? Like, was this a... No, it probably
approved.
Wasn't. During the Middle Ages, the clergy, almost without exception, were the only people who were able to read and write. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they were the leading lights in reading and writing, but...
Yeah. Yeah. But it's one of those books that you sort of go, yeah, okay, fair enough.
Can't fault it that much, but
it's not
possibly
that interesting,
a bit strong.
Amanda, what's your birthday, babe?
15th of May.
It's a very good day to be born. Mm. Taurus. Best mate is the 15th. My mum was the 6th.
Ah.
Right, May the 15th. On 15th of May 1948, the Australian touring team scored a world record total of runs in one day. In just under 6 hours, they made 721 all out against Essex at South Church Park, Southend.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Shall we... I tell you what the game we're going to play here is, we stop when we get to one that we care about. Let's do that. One that makes us sort of interested.
Yeah, they're all shrug facts, these.
The mad Emperor Caligula once decided to go to war with the Roman god of the sea, Poseidon, and ordered his soldiers to throw their spears into the water at random.
Did that happen on the 15th of May?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
No.
I mean, what's that got to do with the 15th of May?
I think there's always one that starts on the 15th of May,
the rest are just a bit random.
Shove them in.
Fred Astaire's first screen test notes read, can't act, can't sing,
can dance a little.
Yeah, we know that one. Sigmund Freud's friends paid the Nazis £20,000 to allow him out of Germany just before the start of World War II. He died 18 months later.
Freud's friends.
It's good to say.
Yep.
Only one Western film has ever been directed by a woman. Sadly, that probably is still
true. At
this
point.
From 1984. There's probably,
I think there's been a couple more since then. But...
Did Jane Campion, she famously did a... Didn't she? Who did Year of the Dog or whatever it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, God, I'm sorry, listeners. Michael Caine, I feel, has let us down a little bit. Shall I do my birthday?
Yeah.
30th of January.
27th, but
27th of January.
You were as near as I was to either of yours, so that's fine. We're never going to finish this. None of these are... Oh, okay, here we go. Okay, so for January the 27th, Charles Dodgson, better known as Lewis Carroll, author of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, was born today in 1832. He claimed that he wrote 98,721 letters in the last 37 years of his life. That is an average of over 7 letters a day. Yeah, people write a lot of letters in those days, didn't they? To make just 1 pound of honey, bees must collect nectar from over 2 million separate flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. The Dutch army is unionised. That is actually quite interesting.
Oh, yeah. Because a lot of sort of armed forces and things aren't allowed to unionise.
Like, yeah.
The police aren't allowed to go and strike, really, are they?
No, the army can't strike.
Rules against it. All right, that's interesting.
Should we stop there?
One more fact.
Not all dinosaurs were huge and frightening. In fact, some were as small as chickens.
Yeah, we know. We've all seen Jurassic Park, that. Mickey.
We all knew. Cats have no facility for tasting sugar. I like the short ones.
Oh, I like that.
That
you're
just
There we're talking.
Australian earthworms can grow up to 10 feet in length. The eye of a giant squid is larger than the person's head. I'm just going to carry on doing this.
No, I like the cats.
Yeah, all
cats
right.
Cats can't taste sugar.
Okay. Cats have no facility for tasting sugar. Well, thank you, Michael Caine. Not many people know that.
Not many people did know that one, to be fair.
So now, we enjoyed Michael Caine's book and the National Playing Fields Association, this just in, Jen.
Yeah.
They do still exist.
Yep.
But under a different name.
Yes, yes. Fields in Trust.
There you go.
And still doing the same work as they ever have done. So, yeah. Keep it up, lads and lasses and others.
Bung them a few quid wherever we can. Now, on the subject of books, of course, our book, which we very much stand by, as I'm sure Michael Caine stood by his at the time, our fabulous book, Fingers on Buzzers, is available. And the very kind people at Bonnier Books who published it have said we can give you a little sneak peek, a little exclusive preview of the audiobook.
A pre-ord. Yeah,
I don't know. Yes, whatever it is, a pre thing.
Sneaky peeky.
A sneaky
listen.
Oral peeky. Yes. And anyway, yes, we've got an excerpt from the book. That's what we're trying to say. And it is here for your listening pleasure now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Countdown Fact File. Name, Countdown. Dates, 1982 to present day, making it one of the longest running TV quiz shows. Hosts, Richard Whiteley, Des Lynam, Des O'Connor, Jeff Stelling, Nick Hewer, Anne Robinson and Colin Murray. However, on this show, the co-hosts are equally important. Notable mentions include Carol Vorderman, Susie Dent and Rachel Riley. Concept. Contestants compete against the clock as they undertake a series of word and number tasks. Countdown. Solving puzzles or riddles against the clock has been done in many ways on TV. Sometimes you have to stand up while you're doing it and maybe run about a bit, the cube, the crystal maze, but sometimes you're allowed simply to sit behind a desk. Countdown is hands down the grand champ of the sit-down puzzling shows. Everybody knows that it launched Channel 4 in 1982 and Richard Whiteley soon became everyone's favourite cheesy uncle. Then it was hosted with varying degrees of success by some newcomers until it was delivered into the safe hands of Colin Murray in 2022. The show is based on an original French format, Des Chiffres et des Lettres, and thanks to my 324-day streak on Duolingo, I know this means figures and letters. There are only three elements to the gameplay. One, teasing the longest word possible out of a random selection of 9 letters. Two, making a randomly generated 3-digit number out of 6 smaller numbers. Three, unscrambling a conundrum, a perfect 9-letter anagram. As we constantly say, when coming up with a format, simplicity is your friend. The fact that everyone on the show is very familiar with the rules allows the producers to add other fun elements to spice things up a bit. There's Susie Dent helping out with defining the words and increasing our love of the English language a little bit more every day. There's Rachel Riley showing us how to do the sums. There's a celebrity guest telling stories, making up poems or just being Giles Brandreth. He's the most popular of the Dictionary Corner residents with over 300 appearances. That's a lot of novelty jumpers. Countdown is such a winning formula that it's even become a wildly successful nighttime comedy panel show in partnership with 8 out of 10 Cats. The contestants on Countdown are allowed to come back up to 8 times when they become Octo Champs, which must be the coolest thing ever.
Family Fortunes, Fact File. Name, Family Fortunes, based on the American Family Feud, with many spin-offs and variations, see below. Dates, 1980 to present day, with a few gaps. Hosts, Bob Monkhouse, Max Bygraves, Les Dennis, Andy Collins, Vernon Kay, and Gino DeCampo. Prize, cash, 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 plus a car or holiday for the winners, and some spot prizes. Concept, families battle other families to work out how other people think. Family Fortunes. Legend has it that Bob Monkhouse himself rejected the American title Family Feud because he thought it sounded too aggressive. His decision has been resolutely vindicated. Family Fortunes is one of the cosiest and cuddliest shows on the telly. The format is another triumph of simplicity. A family, captained by its mouthiest member, plays off against another, and they have to name things in categories, trying to guess which of those things will be the most popular. They win cash corresponding to the number of people out of 100 who gave that answer, so it's in their interest to gauge the national mood carefully. It's kind of a reverse pointless, if you will. At the end of the show, the family that scored the most points gets to nominate 2 members to answer 5 questions against the clock. It's fascinating to watch an early episode side by side with a contemporary one. The format may have remained the same, but everything else has changed. The set these days is a big showbiz affair with glittering city lights. In the early days, the set featured an answer board so lo-fi it made CFAX look like 8K UHD. The contestants also exude more confidence. Some of the early participants look like they're in a hostage situation rather than a TV game show. Of course, the makeup of the families has changed. Max Bygraves raised an eyebrow when he had to introduce an unmarried couple who live together, but now there are many more blended families, step-parents and same-sex couples. Even when they ask the same questions over the series, you get very different answers in different eras. I've seen the question, name something you might do on a first date, answered with go to a roller disco in the 1980s and book a hotel room in the 2020s. Host with the most, Les Dennis. All the hosts have had their charms. Slick Bob and Cuddly Max set the show up, but they handed it on to a host who was slick, cuddly and absolutely delightful. Les was known to all as a comic and impressionist, but he was a game show natural. Plus, he did manage to smuggle that incredible Mavis Riley impression into the show every now and then. The winning contestants regularly swept Les off his feet in their excitement at the end. So evident was their affection for him. Les joined Family Fortunes in 1987 in the wake of a huge personal tragedy. He told us, "When I went into Family Fortunes, I'd been in a double act with Dustin G, and Dustin died on the 3rd of January 1986. People said, what is Les going to do? I'd lost my comedy partner, and I'd lost this extraordinary career that was happening for both of us. My agent at the time said, they want you to consider Family Fortunes. And I remember thinking, no, I can't do that. I won't be any good at it, because I hadn't worked with the public in that sense. I learned on the job, and luckily they let me do that. In the first series, we did 26 shows in 4 weeks. Having watched particularly Bob, I thought, I am going to have a joke for every contestant. And that's what I did for the first few shows before I realised I should let it come organically. That's Bob's style, and I was trying to emulate someone else's style." Les is regularly asked about his favourite of the legendary wrong answers from the show, but he told us about a lesser known one involving one of his Family Fortunes predecessors. The question was, name something associated with Dracula. You'd think bats, teeth, coffin, steak. He went, Bob Monkhouse. No idea to this day what he was thinking. Les Dennis, host of Family Fortunes. Who were the 100 people in We Asked 100 People? The contestants. The people that were coming in for the series. We would give them the questions for the next series. That's why we got so many silly answers. If you want to include a quickfire round in your home quiz, you might need to improvise a bit. Jenny says, we can't all have a sophisticated system of buzzers that can work out to the millisecond which contestant was fastest. I mean, I do, of course, but most homes don't have the luxury.
Buzzing at home. Here are some things to bear in mind. Needle in a haystack. Giving your opposing players buzzers with distinct sounds will make the quizmaster's job much easier. If everyone is buzzing by tapping their glass, then it will be impossible to work out who is first. Also, you'll probably have broken glass, red wine stains, and tinnitus to deal with by the end of the night. Not all buzzers are equal. Players using an electronic buzzer might have a quicker reaction time than someone who has to, say, pick up and shake a maraca. This isn't always a bad thing. You can use it as a handicap system to temper your stronger quizzes and give others a chance. Noise control. Perhaps just have one buzzer per team. Signed, your neighbours. Top tip. Raid the games cupboard and the charity shop. There are loads of board games, not just quiz-related ones, that have a buzzer in the box. Or there are plenty of other things around the gaff that will do the job. We've tested out a few things we found around the house and rated their usefulness as a buzzer. Bee in a cup. 1 out of 10. Impractical, and also we should be protecting bees, not forcing them to work for us. Wasp in a cup. 0 out of 10. Hazardous, although this may happen anyway if you're having a garden party quiz with sugary beverages. Medic alert button. 0 out of 10. It will test some reactions, but Nan will be furious. Whatever instrument the kids are learning at school, 9 out of 10. Bound to be attention-grabbing and shrill. Doorbell, 2 out of 10. Classic button-pressing format, but you won't be able to hear the questions properly from the doorstep. Torch, 8 out of 10. Excellent for deaf quizzes, but the QM will need an assistant to keep an eagle eye out. The most lo-fi solution is just getting your contestants to shout out their name or any word or noise. You can be quite strict with this. If someone shouts out the answer without first remembering to honk, squeak or sing the opening bars of Beethoven's Fifth, feel free to deny them a point. The number one rule of quizzing is that you have to follow the rules.
Quiz. Countdown. The final round of Countdown, the famous Countdown conundrum, can be fiendishly tricky. The premise is that they've mixed up a nine-letter word and you need to unscramble it. We've come up with a list of our favourite nine-letter word anagrams. Plus, we've given you a little Countdown-style clue that might help you guess it. For example, on Countdown, you might choose a snot cannon, consonant, or the most musical animal is the cart horse, orchestra. Here are some more to solve.
Question one. If you're feeling sluggish, you might need some light care.
Question two. I decided to say I do because of a heart bolt.
Question three. I find it objectionable when a male hoots.
Question four. A cry in the dark from a dingo goth.
Question five. You're very bold when you mesh seals.
Question six. I have a traffic-stopping black door.
Question 7. This branch of science might give you a moral clue.
Question 8. Are you getting rid of that shoe, Basil?
Question 9. First thing in the morning, you should bake farts.
And question 10. This diplomatic HQ needs clean-outs.
And if you want to check the spellings of any of those words, then do consult the PDF. And of course, you can come up with these yourselves. You could use an online anagram generator or just an old-fashioned pen and paper and your brain.
Well, there we go. A little sort of literary special, I suppose, of Fingers on Buzzers there.
Yeah, we love the books.
Thanks very much for listening. We love all books, anything with a quiz in it, and especially our own. So we will be back next time with another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers.
Yes, not a lot of people know that.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.